From Maine Public Radio and mainepublic.org, I'm Robbie Feinberg with the news on this day in Maine, Thursday, June 13th, 2024.
This Day in Maine is made possible by Now You're Cooking, celebrating 24 years of selling cookware, kitchen tools, gadgets, and fine wine on historic Front Street in downtown Bath, open 7 days a week.
The special commission investigating last October's mass shooting in Lewiston heard on Thursday from an Army doctor in charge of the psychological health program for reservists and their commanders. As Kevin Miller reports, questions remain about how the Army Reserve handled concerns about the gunman's mental health months before the shooting.
Within days of the shooting that left 18 people dead, reports began emerging that gunman Robert Card had been hospitalized for 2 weeks because of his paranoia and erratic behavior while training with his reserve unit in New York. Card was then sent home to Maine with orders to undergo counseling and to keep his commanders updated on his treatment. But Card apparently never followed through, nor did he respond to calls or emails from the Army Reserve's Psychological Health Program, or PHP, seeking to connect him with treatment.
Is it appropriate for PHP, after several attempts, unsuccessful attempts have been made, to close the case?
No, ma'am.
That was commission member and former U.S. Attorney Paula Silsby questioning Colonel Mark Ochoa, who helps lead the Army Reserve program that includes psychological health. Ochoa was testifying remotely Thursday from a base in North Carolina, with the understanding that he could speak generally about the programs available to reservists, but not specifically about Card, who is the focus of an ongoing Army internal review. So commission members relied on hypotheticals with clear parallels to Card's case.
Well, let's assume that this goes on ad infinitum. What are the expectations from a non-responsive reservist in this situation?
From a medical perspective, we are always here. So I would say that would be a command decision as far as how they move forward.
But as the commission heard in April, Card's leaders of the Saco-based reserve unit didn't follow up to make sure he was receiving mental health treatment. And Captain Jeremy Reamer told commissioners that he was relying on Card's family to confiscate Card's guns, because once reservists are back in civilian life, he has no control over their personal weapons. Such differences between full-time soldiers and reservists came up repeatedly on Thursday. Ochoa says commanders have less authority to order a reservist into treatment. And while active duty service members can receive behavioral health treatment in their unit, Ochoa says reservists are often referred to private health care providers who don't carry the same obligations as military facilities to share medical information.
Our team only knows what they know. So if they don't get medical records from that civilian health care provider, that soldier's not releasing it, it's hard for us.
That's a point that former Judge Jeffrey Rushlow picked up on as well, as he questioned Ochoa.
Even if they're still under orders, it's the soldier's willingness to share information with their commander which controls. And if they're not willing, then it's not shared.
The commission expects to release its final report this summer. Army officials, meanwhile, have said they are finalizing their internal report on the military's involvement with the Lewiston gunman. For Maine Public Radio News, I'm Kevin Miller.
An early morning altercation in Dexter has left two police officers and a suspect injured, according to a press release from Dexter Police Chief Kevin Wintle. Wintle says that after 2 on Thursday morning, he and Sergeant Gary Morin responded to a report of a man acting erratically on a public street. Wintle says they found 34-year-old Christopher Hongo yelling and acting aggressively, and as they tried to take him into custody, he assaulted both officers. Wintle says Hongo pushed Morin over a rock wall and continued to assault him. Morin then shot Hongo with his service weapon. Hongo is being treated for his injuries at Eastern Maine Medical Center in Bangor. Wintle and Morin were treated and released from Sebasticook Valley Hospital in Pittsfield. Both officers are being placed on administrative leave while the Attorney General's office investigates the incident. The Mills administration and reproductive health care providers say they're relieved that the abortion drug mifepristone will remain available following a ruling by the U.S. Supreme Court on Thursday. The High Court unanimously rejected a lawsuit that challenged the FDA's approval of the drug 20 years ago. George Hill, the president and CEO of Maine Family Planning, says the case was an overreach by abortion rights opponents. Even so, he expects there will be similar lawsuits in the future.
I think that people need to take this win, enjoy it, and continue to be vigilant when it comes to protecting reproductive rights in the state of Maine.
Governor Janet Mills and Attorney General Aaron Fry issued a joint statement welcoming the ruling and vowing to fight against future threats to abortion care. Reproductive providers in Maine say most abortion patients choose the medication method. Meanwhile, Maine Health and Preble Street unveiled a new mobile health van on Thursday. The so-called Connect Van will provide care for unhoused people with psychiatric and substance use disorders in Greater Portland. City Councilor April Fournier says that the care provided through the mobile unit will lead to better long-term outcomes.
A van that can now go and bring a clinical practice to these individuals, bring the treatment to them, lower the barriers, is far more likely to build trust, to build consistency, so that they have access to that continuum of services that hopefully get them into recovery.
The Connect Van is funded for 2 years through $50,000 in local grants and $500,000 in federal American Rescue Plan grant funds distributed through the city of Portland. The van will begin traveling throughout Greater Portland 5 days a week on July 1st. Central Maine Power customers will pay more on their monthly bills starting on July 1st. State utility regulators approved a rate increase of more than $10 a month, or just over $9 for customers who chose the standard offer price. Overall, the changes reflect a 27% increase in distribution rates for residential customers and are designed to cover the cost of outages caused by major storms in the last 2 years. Regulators say that they'll begin soliciting ideas on ways to potentially harden the electrical grid and balance affordability as storms grow more frequent and intense due to climate change. The Maine Public Utilities Commission is expected to consider additional rate changes for both CMP and Versant customers next week. Plans to extend Amtrak's Downeaster service to Rockland have been derailed after the company operating the 57-mile stretch from Brunswick halted operations. Nick Song reports.
Midcoast Rail Service, a subsidiary of Finger Lakes Railway, announced it would terminate its lease with Maine's Department of Transportation for the rights to operate the state-owned Rockland Branch Railroad. Midcoast had been running freight between Rockland and Brunswick since taking over in 2022. They'd been working with Amtrak and rail authorities to restore passenger service for the area. But last fall, Midcoast lost its primary freight customer, Dragon Cement in Thomaston, after the plant said it would cease cement production. Midcoast VP and Finger Lakes co-founder George Betke says losing Dragon made covering the railroad's operational costs impossible.
It is nowhere near sustainable at the current level. We had identified a couple of prospects for locating new freight customers, but those don't happen overnight, and our well was running dry, so we felt that withdrawal was the only logical conclusion for us.
A Maine DOT spokesperson says efforts are underway to find a new operator for the rail line. For Maine Public Radio News, I'm Nick Song.
A proposal to construct a massive housing project on the site of Lewiston's former Continental Mill is moving forward. The city's planning board approved the $80 million plan earlier this week. The proposal calls for redeveloping the mill into nearly 380 apartments, a restaurant area, and roughly 20,000 square feet of both commercial and light industrial space. Matt Asia with developer Chinberg Properties says the project aligns with the company's other housing developments at mills in Saco, Biddeford, and New Hampshire.
So we're proud to have this project as one of our next opportunities to create a great mixed-use project.
The project still must receive a traffic movement permit from the Maine Department of Transportation. The developers plan to include more than 280 parking spaces on site, with additional parking available to residents at a nearby garage. The apartment units will be rented at market rates. Surveys show that Americans are becoming less religious, and church membership across the country is in decline. In Maine, that's forced some churches to close their doors. But a very different trend is playing out in some of the state's African immigrant communities, where recent arrivals are fueling a proliferation of new congregations. Ari Snyder reports.
Marche en dé, en dé, en dé, équipe.
In a parking lot in downtown Portland, a cadre of Congolese and Angolan immigrants dressed in green and white uniforms is reviewing a marching formation in preparation for a parade down Congress Street. Vemakondolu Manuel of Westbrook is leading the maneuvers.
Nous sommes aujourd'hui à Maine en train de célébrer la nativité, c'est-à-dire la naissance de Christ.
Today, he says, they're celebrating the birth of Christ. Manuel is part of Maine's small but growing Kimbangist congregation. Kimbangism is a Christian movement born in the Congo under Belgian colonial rule in the early 1900s. Its leader, Simone Kimbangu, preached black liberation and anti-colonialism and was jailed by the colonial regime for much of his life. Kimbangu's followers celebrate Christmas in May on the birthday of his son, who they view as the reincarnation of Jesus. Today's parade has drawn Kimbangists from as far away as Atlanta.
It feels great because there's all different people from our church coming from different states. We're going to be playing together, so it's fantastic.
George Mbungu of Portland is playing euphonium in the marching band. Mbungu says when his family moved to the U.S. from DR Congo, they went first to upstate New York, but relocated to Maine to join the Kimbangist church here.
I was happy because, like, I saw people that were like me, people that believed in the same religion.
The church meets in a rented hall in Westbrook, and it's part of a growing number of new congregations in the greater Portland area led by and serving African immigrant communities. It's a growth that defies national trends in organized religion. Recent polling from Gallup finds both church membership and the importance of religion in people's lives are falling to record lows. Nicolette Manglos-Weber, a professor at Boston University's School of Theology, says immigration is a major reason why those levels haven't fallen even lower, and that many traditional Christian denominations in the U.S. are taking note.
The United Methodist Church or the Episcopal Church or the Presbyterian Church are now looking towards immigrant populations to really build up and recover some of the losses.
And she says it's increasingly common to see independent African immigrant churches in the U.S., mirroring the growth of the Pentecostal movement in countries such as DR Congo and Angola. In Maine, some African immigrants are also joining long-standing Catholic, Orthodox, and Jehovah's Witness congregations. But Magali Lumiere, a Congolese interpreter who lives in Portland, says sharing a cultural connection with fellow worshipers is important to her. That led her to a Pentecostal church in Westbrook whose congregants also hail from Central Africa.
Just like that connection of where you came from, you're like, okay, we can pray in the same language.
For Lumiere, that language is often Swahili, especially, she says, if it's something really important.
I think Swahili goes straight to God.
Also in Westbrook, Sunday morning services at the City of the Lord Church have an almost concert-like feel, with a full band and live singers leading a multilingual worship. Pastor Placide Moa, originally from DR Congo, says he started the church about a decade ago when he first arrived in Maine. Back then, he says the congregation consisted of four people meeting in his house to pray. Today, he's preaching to about 100, packed into a rented American Legion hall.
Sans le Saint-Esprit,
without the Holy Spirit,
on ne peut rien faire.
We can't do anything.
La Bible dit,
the Bible says,
le jour de la Pentecôte.
Moa says his goal is to push back against declining religiosity in the U.S.
C'est qu'il y a un grand travail à faire dans ce pays.
There's a lot of work to do, he says, in this country and in this state, to bring people to Christ.
Aujourd'hui, notre culte peut-être ne sera pas très très long.
Today, though, that work may be cut short. Moa tells the congregation they have to wrap things up right on time because another Congolese church has the space booked after them. For Maine Public Radio News, I'm Ari Snyder.
And that's today's Maine News. For more stories, visit mainepublic.org. And coming up on Maine Calling at 11 o'clock on Friday morning, we'll talk about the past, present, and future for the right to same-sex marriage in Maine. I'm Robbie Feinberg. Thanks for listening.